So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswati Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one shall offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nastprayesu abhadresu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Etat Nana Avataranam Niddhanam Bijam Avyayam Yasya Amsa Amsena Sridyante Deva Tiryak Nara Adaya Etananavataranam Nidanam bijam avyayam Yasyam samsena srijyante Deva tiryan naradayam Etananavataranam Nidanam bijam avyayam Yasyam samsena srijyante Deva Tirya Naradaya. Please chant. Matajis.
Deva
etat this form nana multifarious avataranam of the incarnations niddanam source bijam seed avyayam indestructible yasya whose amsa plenary portion amsena part of the plenary portion sridyante create deva demigods teryak animals nara adaya human beings and others. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is the source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities like demigods, man and others are created. Please repeat after me. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is the source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities like demigods, man and others are created. Purport. The Purusha, after creating innumerable universes in the Mahatattva, entered in each of them as the second Purusha, Garbhoktakshayi Vishnu. When he saw that within the universe there was only darkness and space without a resting place, he filled half of the universe with water from his own perspiration and laid himself down on the same water. This water is called Garbhoktak. Then from his navel, the stem of the lotus flower sprouted, and on the flower petals, the birth of Brahma, or the master engineer of the universal plan, took place. Brahma became the engineer of the universe, and the Lord himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Brahma was generated from Rajagun of Prakriti, or the mode of passion in nature, and Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. Vishnu, being transcendental to all the modes, is always aloof from materialistic affection. This has already been explained from Brahma. There is Rudra, Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness. He destroys the whole creation by the will of the Lord. Therefore, all three, namely Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are incarnations of the Garbhoktakshayi Vishnu. From Brahma, the other demigods like Daksha, Marichi, Manu and many others become incarnated to generate living entities within the universe. This Garbhoktakshayi Vishnu is glorified by the Vedas in the hymns of Garbha Stuti, which begin with the description of the Lord as having thousands of heads, etc. The Garbhoktakshayi Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and although he appears to be lying within the universe, he is always transcendental. This also has already been explained. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of the Garbhoktakshayi Vishnu, is the super soul of the universal life and is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Shirogdakshayi Vishnu. So the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Shirogdakshayi Vishnu. In different millennia, there are different incarnations, and they are innumerable. Although some of them are very prominent, such as Matsya, Kurma, Vara, Rama, Narsingha, Vaman, and many others. These incarnations are called Lila incarnations. Then there are qualitative incarnations, such as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or Rudra, who take charge of the different modes of material nature. Lord Vishnu is none different from the personality of Godhead Lord Shiva, is the marginal position between the personality of Godhead and the living entities or jivas. Brahma is always a jiva tattva. The highest pious living being, or the greatest devotee of the Lord, is empowered with the potency of the Lord for creation and is called Brahma. His power is like the power of the sun reflected in valuable stones and jewels. When there is no such living being to take charge of the post of Brahma, the Lord himself becomes a Brahma and takes charge of the post. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. He is the plenary portion of the Lord. But because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with material nature, he is not exactly in the same transcendental position as Lord Vishnu. The difference is like that between milk and yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but milk, and yet it cannot be used in place of milk. The next incarnations are the Manus. Within one day's duration of the life of Brahma, which is calculated by our solar year as 4,300,000 years times 1,000 years, there are 14 Manus. Therefore, there are 420 Manus in 1 month of Brahma and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years of his age, and therefore there are 5,040 times 100 or 504,000 Manus in the duration of Brahma's life. There are innumerable universes with one Brahma in each of them, and all of them are created and annihilated during the breathing time of the Purusha. Therefore, one can simply imagine how many millions of Manus there are during one breath of the Purusha. The Manus who are prominent within this universe are as follows. Yajna as Swayambhuva Manu, Vibhu as Swarochisa Manu, Satyasen as Uttama Manu, Hari as Tamasa Manu, Vaikuntha as Raivata Manu, Ajita as Chakshusha Manu, Vaman as Vaivasvata Manu, the present age is under the Vaisvata Manu, Sarvabhama as Savarni Manu, Rishab as Dakshavani Manu, Visvaksena as Brahma Savarni Manu, and Dharmasetu as Dharma Savarni Manu, Sudama as Rudra Savarni Manu, Yogeshwar as Deva Savarni Manu, and Brihabanu as Indra Savarni Manu. These are the names of one set of 14 Manus covering 4,300,000,000 solar years as described above. Then there are the Yuga avatars, or the incarnations of the millennia. The Yugas are known as Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali Yuga. The incarnations of each Yuga are of different color. The colors are white, red, black and yellow. In the Dwapar Yuga, Lord Krishna in black color appeared, and in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya in yellow color appeared. So all the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. There is no scope for an imposter to become an incarnation, for an incarnation must be mentioned in the Shastras. An incarnation does not declare himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, but great sages agree by the symptoms mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The features of the incarnation and the particular type of mission which he has to execute are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Apart from the direct incarnations, there are innumerable empowered incarnations. They are also mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Such incarnations are directly as well as indirectly empowered. When they are directly empowered, they are called incarnations. But when they are indirectly empowered, they are called vibhutis. Directly empowered incarnations are the Kumaras, Narad, Prithu, Shesha, Ananta, etc. As far as vibhutis are concerned, they are very explicitly described in the Bhagavad Gita in the Vibhuti Yoga chapter. And for all these different types of incarnations, the fountain head is the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Namo Vishnu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Prasadada Satarine Om Agyanam Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshuru Nimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama. It's a very long purport. As we see, it's almost 3 pages. Before I start speaking today, I will seek the blessings and permission of all the senior Vaishnavas here to be able to speak something on the science of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of myself and all of us who are trying to practice in the footsteps of Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. I would like, before I speak on this purport, to pull up something which I heard here, but unfortunately the internet just... do we know what's the password for Govindas? Is it Govindas also? Govinda? Is it uppercase? Do we have uppercase on? Eh? Oh, so everyone can. Oh, Krishna. So, it's. I need to connect to the internet in able to speak something, and that's what I'm trying. Let me try in lowercase. Does anyone have their cell phone that I can borrow? Because then your cell phone will ride on a data plan. Sorry, Prabhu, I have to start with this because this is important, but I need password. Okay, it is. It says logged in, but let's see. Let's see if I can. Thank you. So as we can see, Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of energy and time in trying to reveal something that is mentioned in the scriptures by even Prahlad Maharaj. He states that, you know, it is very difficult, it's literally very difficult to understand the Lord, because the Lord is manifest as many incarnations. And as there are species of life just for the maintenance of the faithful and annihilation of the unfaithful. So Prahlad Maharaj in his prayer is stating that that the Lord has as many incarnations as there are species of life. So with that being said, it is not very easy to describe the multifarious incarnations that the Lord has. However, through Srila Prabhupada, we are able to at least try to comprehend and understand this science. And that's why, Prabhu, you have what, Verizon? Also, he's still in the cycle of birth and death, you know, the cycle, that's the cycle of samsara, it is still circling. So, basically, I wanted to start with a very important Vyas Puja offering by B.B. Govind Maharaj, which has been posted on the TOVP site, where one of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers glorifies Srila Prabhupada. And I thought it was very appropriate to start with that, because these transcendental matters that we are reading on and that we are trying to comprehend with our tiny minds is made so sublime and easy by Srila Prabhupada's purports. And I wanted to glorify the real Acharya through what has been stated. And I'm just about to get there. By one of his god brothers about Srila Prabhupada. Sorry, I was not expecting that I will have lost the page. Does someone have better internet connectivity? I'm trying to get the news. So, the title is Under the Greatest Acharya Who Has Ever Existed. That is the title that is given to this article for Srila Prabhupada. and it was the Vyas Puja offering of Bibi Govind Maharaj this year. And this is how it goes. The greatest charya who has ever existed. The following is a 2017 Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada by His Holiness Bibi Govind Maharaj. It is highly inspiring and relevant to all ISKCON devotees because it further reveals to us who Srila Prabhupada is and the purpose of His mission in which we are all serving. So it goes like this. When I first met him, so Bibi Govind Maharaj met Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. And Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj was a dear god brother and admirer of Srila Prabhupada, who inspired many ISKCON devotees with his wonderful kirtan, humility and pure devotional mood. So when I first met him, that is Bhagavad Akinchan Maharaj, I looked at him and I didn't know what to say. And I said, Srila Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. And when he saw that I had a tape player in my hands, and so without my having to say anything, he just closed his eyes and started tapping his hands together, and he sang his Mangala Charanam before singing Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And then he started singing Hare Krishna Mantra. And it was like going to another world. He was chanting so beautifully. And it was like each syllable was drenched in bhav and prema. After about 20 minutes, he stopped and then he looked at me and he said, I would like to tell you something. I said, what is that? And he said, I am an old man and I have had a lot of experience in this world. From my experience, I can honestly tell you that there has never been a greater acharya than your spiritual master. And when he said that, I became stunned because he was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he looked up and he said, there has never been an acharya in history who has performed miracles like your spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then he paused and he looked at me and he said, do you know why? I was so stunned. I couldn't say anything. And he said, because in history, there was never a greater servant of Sri Krishna's holy name than your spiritual master. Because your spiritual master had so much absolute understanding of Sri Krishna's holy name and so much absolute faith in Sri Krishna's holy name that he personally carried Sri Krishna's holy name through the length and breadth of the world. Therefore, he is the greatest acharya who has ever existed. Srila Prabhupada ki. As we know, in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted, Prithivite acha yada nagarate kram sarvatra prachar haibe moranam. That in every village, my name will be recited and chanted. And we know that this prophecy was filled by the Senapati Srila Prabhupada. And we know that also in Kali Yuga, the Lord comes as Kali Kala Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. The Lord comes, descends in the age of Kali Yuga in the form of His holy name. So I found that this was very appropriate that a pure devotee of the Lord was being glorified for preaching the holy name all over the world. And you know, when you read these purports and when you read and try and understand about this Purusha incarnations and all that, this is not easy subject matter. But Srila Prabhupada explains it so easily, so sublimely for our benefit that it makes it much, much easier for people like us who are fourth class sudras to understand transcendental matters. Because it is coming from the lips of a pure devotee, just like Sukadev Goswami. So, according to Vaishnava teachings, I will speak on what Srila Prabhupada has stated in his lengthy purport. I found some points that I will state on. But I wanted to really emphasize on the Kali Kala Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, because in the age of Kali, we all know that the name of the Lord and the Lord is none different. Nam Nam Akari Bauja Nija Sarva Saktis is one of the prayers in the Shikshastakam offered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the Nam is all the ruchis, all the potency. So according to Vaishnava teachings, there are five fundamental manifestations of God. And those are the Lord Himself. Second is His expansions. Third is eternal energy. Fourth is His perfect devotee. And fifth is His avatars. And we know Janma Karma Jame Divyam, that one who understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord at the time of leaving his body does not take birth again. So we are trying to understand the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord. This shloka actually, when I was reading it, gave me a glimpse of how great God is. You know, on the American currency, it says, "In God we trust." And we speak about greatness of God. We can see just a glimpse of that in this text here, that how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who, as we know, there's the three Purusha features, Karunadakshaya Vishnu, also called Mahavishnu, then we have Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then we have Shirodakshaya Vishnu. These are the three Vishnus, or the three Purushas that we are speaking about here. So in the previous words, Amala Bhakta Maharaj was speaking about Karunadakshaya Vishnu. The last two verses were speaking about Karunadakshaya Vishnu. Now we are speaking about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And later on, as we progress with the chapters, we'll speak about Shirodakshaya Vishnu and then the 25 incarnations mentioned in Bhagavatam. And the 25 incarnations in itself are not complete. Srila Prabhupada also mentions there are also other incarnations. So this is just to give us a hint of how great God is. And Karunadakshaya Vishnu has also is an expansion of the four-armed form of Krishna. Karunadakshaya Vishnu is the first Purusha, and we know from his skin, as he's glancing over this material world, just from his skin, innumerable universes are sprung up. That's how great God can be, just by his glance. You know, in the Bible, in Genesis, it says the Lord glanced over and there was creation. But in the Bhagavatam, it goes further. It says how that creation took place, that it came through Karunadakshaya Vishnu, and it came through the pores, the holes, the pores of his skin, and innumerable universes were being created. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu collectively becomes the Paramatma in all living entities. And that's why we say that the Lord as the Paramatma feature is the most merciful in the heart. Because the Lord doesn't need to. Because we have rebelled, we have come to this material world. But the Lord, being the ever merciful Father, still accompanies us in the Paramatma feature. Always waiting for the chance for us to knock at his door. Because of our minute independence, does not interfere in what course of action we choose when we are in this material world. However, as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, present in our heart, he is ever there as our well-wisher, waiting to take us back home, back to God. So, you know, this is the three Purushas. And then, therefore, Purusha avatar is manifested in three features, Srila Prabhupada, continues to say in his purpose. Karunadakshaya Vishnu, who creates aggregate material ingredients, is the Mahatattva. And then second is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, enters into each and every universe. And then third, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of every material object, organic or inorganic. So those are the three Purushas that Srila Prabhupada is trying is mentioning to us in his first paragraph here. And then in the previous verses, we know, if you'll see in this verse, the Virat Roop or the universal form is not being mentioned. It has been mentioned in the third verse of this chapter. And Srila Prabhupada says, the reason that the Virat Roop is not mentioned is that because the Virat Roop is for neophytes who cannot think of the transcendental form of the personality of Godhead. So for them, the Lord shows, you know, relating something that they can relate to, all the arms and legs and all that. But devotees are not. Even Arjun, when he was shown that form by Lord Krishna on the battlefield, he immediately begged to see the Lord in his two-armed form, Shama Sundar. Because devotees are not about that. The devotees' understanding is different. And our understanding is that we want to worship the Lord in his original form. So Srila Prabhupada comments in the purpose further that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is a power extension of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions about the different incarnations. And so, as we know, we have 25 incarnations. So I'll go through the list of 25 incarnations. This is very important because this authenticates, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the last paragraphs, that no one can claim to be God. Because we already know the names of God, because they are in the Bhagavatam. We know even the Kalki avatar, what will be the name of his parents, in which town he'll be born. So everything is authenticated. So the 25 incarnations, the first ones are the Kumaras, second is Narad, third is Varaha, fourth is Matsya, fifth is Yajna, sixth is Nar Narayan, seventh is Kapila, eighth is Dattatreya, ninth is Hayasirsa, tenth is Hansa, 11th is Dhruva Priya or Krishna Garba, 12th is Rishabhadev, 13th is Prithu, 14th is Lord Narsingha, 15th is Kurma, 16th is Dhanvantri, 17th is Mohini, 18th is Vaman, 19th is Parshuram, 20th is Lord Ram, 21st is Vyasdev, 22nd is Balaram, 23rd is Krishna, 24th is Buddha, and we know that the 25th is going to be Kalki. So this is the 25 incarnations mentioned in the Shastras and Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the next paragraph. And then the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important point, that when the Lord finds that Brahma's position cannot be filled by a qualified person, then the Lord takes on Brahma's position. And this is very important because in later purports of Srila Prabhupada in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada also says that during Swayambhuva Manu's time, there was no one qualified to take the position of Indra. And Lord Krishna himself became Indra. Because Prabhupada mentions a very important point. He says Brahma is a post, like the president, and it can be filled by any qualified living entity. But if there is no qualified entity, then the Lord comes and fills that position. And this is very important because we have six kinds of incarnations. We have 25 incarnations, which are the Lila incarnations, but there are six kinds of incarnations. And these are the Purusha avatars, the Lila avatars, the Guna avatars, which is Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu, the mode of, because they are in charge of the three modes of material nature. So they are the Guna avatars. And then we have the Manvantara avatars, which are the Manus. And then we have the Yuga avatars. And we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. And then we have the Shakti Avatesh avatars, or the empowered personality. So these are the six categories of avatars. And we know that in the Shakti Avatesh, Srila Prabhupada is one of them. And so this is important because I'm just delineating this because I know it is not very important for us. More important is the philosophy that that the Lord comes as his name, and that in the age of Kali it is stated, Kaler Dosa Nida Rajan Eko Mahaguna. There is only one Mahaguna. And that Eko Mahaguna is what? We know that this age of Kali is full of troubles, hypocrisy, we have short lives. We know we have all these things. But we have one thing that in this age, going back to home, back to Godhead, is the easiest. How? Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Ranameva Kevalam. Kalau Nashti Eva Nashti Eva Nashti Eva Gatiranyata. So just by Idi Sodas Nam, Kali Kalma Sanasnam, just by the chanting of these 16 names, what happened in the previous three yugas, as we know in the Treta Yuga, people live very long lives. So through the process of meditation, they achieve the same goal. In the age of, Satya Yuga. And then from Satya Yuga, we came to Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga was sacrifice. And then we came to Dwapar Yuga, which was elaborate worship. That same effect in Kali Yuga is done by the chanting of the holy name. So that is the most important thing. But because Srila Prabhupada is taking the time to explain all this. That's why I'm speaking about trying to break down Srila Prabhupada's purpose. We are currently under Vaivasvata Manu, as we know. Then Prabhupada speaks of the Yugavatars. So in Satya Yuga, the Lord had a white complexion. Then in Treta Yuga, had a red complexion. In Dwapar Yuga, we know that he came as Lord Krishna. And so he had a black complexion. And in Kali Yuga, he comes as Channa Avatar, the hidden avatar, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is yellowish in complexion. Now, Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentions that Balaram and Lord Krishna, however, are the original forms of the Lord. They are Bhagwan. They are not Lila Avatar. They don't follow under Lila Avatar. They don't follow under the avatars. They are the original Bhagwans. And then, obviously, we know about the Sakti Avates Avatars, which are the last avatars that we are speaking about. And Narad Muni is one of them. And Narad Muni is regarded as the avatar for devotion, because he propagates devotional service to everyone. And as we know, he's the spiritual master of Vyasadev. So that is what I understood from this elaborate purport of Srila Prabhupada, that we have the six and that they are broken down into these categories and these categories. But the essence that I failed to speak about was the glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and that in the age of Kali, we need to focus on the Nam. I open it for any questions, any comments. Yes.
Thank you for the really nice class. Thanks for being such a nice and amazing devotee. Just had a question about, you were talking about how the Srimad Bhagavatam predicts the future of Kalki avatar coming, and it describes like the family he's going to enter. So my question is, that, you know, Lord Chaitanya comes, is considered the golden age. This is a very special age where people get mercy very easily. And Srila Prabhupada, in many occasions, he talks about like almost like taking over the world by the Krishna consciousness movement, like turning over governments. And then Lord Chaitanya, on the request of Vasudev Dutt, actually delivered the whole universe. So my question is it possible, if the devotees desire it enough, to actually change what's predicted in the Bhagavatam in such a way that, you know, because when Kalki comes, it's just going to be demons existing on earth. But what if the devotees, you know, liberate the whole earth before that? So is that possible?
You know, there is a very nice shloka, and luckily I have that shloka here, and I will answer it with that, and then I will let senior devotees and our Bhakti Shastri teacher elaborate more. But there is one very beautiful shloka about the desires of the devotees, because your question, correct me if I'm wrong, is more that if the devotees desire, then what is predicted in the Bhagavatam, can that change?
Lord Chaitanya wants people to go back to Godhead.
Yes. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a shloka, Tvam Brahma Paramamvyam Purusha Prakritte Para Avitrino Asmi Bhagavana Swecha Pata Pritag Vapu. My dear Lord, as the absolute truth, you are transcendental to material nature. And like the sky, you are never entangled in any way. Still, being controlled by your devotees' love, you accept many different forms, incarnating according to your devotees' desires. So incarnates according to the devotees' desires also. But we know that the golden age is going to last for 10,000 years now. I do not know. You know, I just the thing is, Srila Prabhupada is only stating what has been stated by Vyasadev. And Vyasadev said Kalki Avatar will come. And at the time of Kalki Avatar, that the degradation will be so low that no one will be understanding spiritual matters. So on the basis of Shastra, because Shastra is authority, that is what's going to happen. But I let Archita Prabhu, Drutakarma Prabhu, someone, you know, else elaborate what they can say about this. This is interesting. Because it is also a desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there is, you know, Satchinandan Prabhu, you know, is also present. Oh yeah, Brigupati Prabhu is also there, yes.
Ananda Kirtan Prabhu is very expert at asking questions to which he knows the answer. The answer is free will. Yes, the Lord Himself is desiring for everybody to go back to Godhead, but we see they don't, at least not immediately, because He doesn't interfere with their free will. So the sages, the Lord Himself being Tri Kalagya, they know that. They know that in spite of their desire, in spite of the desire of the pure devotees, in spite of the desire of the Lord Himself, the living entities are so recalcitrant, so adamant about trying to enjoy separately from God that they will continue. They will continue. It will continue. So Kali Yuga means it's an age in which the means of getting back to God, and as you so nicely said, has become easy, but still not everybody takes to it, we see. So the opportunity is always there to go back to God in every age, not just this age, but understanding the mentality of the living entity, they will always be there. Like Lord Chaitanya said in that conversation with Vasudev Dutt, even if everybody goes back right now, it will fill up again. The universe will fill up again. Because that's just the nature of the living entities. They have free will. Some of them misuse that free will, and so this place will always be full. There's no question of it being emptied for good forever and ever. Because the free will always continues. Even when you go back to God, the Prabhupada clearly stated that to one devotee. Because one devotee said, well, Krishna says when you go back home, you never come back to this place. So does that mean that you can't? And Prabhupada said, no, you can't. That free will is there. You can always come back. But generally, the tendency is that you don't. It's like putting your hand in fire. Once you've done it once, you could do it again. But most of us, if not all of us, don't do it again because you've experienced it. So free will works like that.
Thank you. In fact, you know what Archita Prabhu said, if you remember the beginning of this this chapter, Srila Prabhupada in the purport starts with Nitya Baddhas, that they are eternally Nitya Baddhas. So I think to what Archita Prabhu has clearly stated, you know, the Nitya Baddhas still exist. Anyone else? Srimad Bhagavatam class ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Scratch my brain about that verse and then you didn't use it. No, but that one you have on
one thing to say about that, of course. So that's that. It's like everything is mental.
We'll schedule your next class and then you get your stuff.
But I wanted to glorify you for the parts of the
That's why it's better than that. Do you the praise now or so?
These aren't rechargeable, though. I don't think so.
These look like just like regular batteries.
Somebody put regular batteries in the charger? What, are they crazy?
No, it wasn't in the charger. They were in the microphone.
Oh, the ones that were in the mic are not rechargeable.
Okay. Yeah, so these are ready. Discard those. Yeah, we should have two sets of rechargeables. I don't know where the other one is set. Anyway. Don't worry about it.